What's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Battle Tested Podcast. On this episode, I've got an incredible guest joining me. His name is Andrew Blaylock. Andrew and I used to work together for several years. He's an incredible husband, father, pastor, musician, and singer, an extremely talented individual, hardworking person. And the subject that I have asked Andrew to join us in talking about is doubt. How can we overcome doubt? When doubt starts to creep into our minds, how can we properly handle it, overcome it, and how can we turn it into something that actually causes us to grow instead of just sending us into a spiral of confusion or complacency or apathy? How can we overcome doubt? So I hope you enjoy this episode with Andrew Blaylock. Episode one of this season, I kind of unpacked this idea that throughout this whole season, we're going to be talking about different topics that are going to help us live the way of the warrior, okay? And when you think of an archetype warrior, you know, when you think of the samurai or a knight, there are things about them that are in this legend of these warriors that go beyond their physical prowess that really cements them as this archetype of a warrior. And it's not necessarily their skill on the battlefield, but it's things like their virtue, their honor, their mm-hmm. discipline, their character, their willingness to serve others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think in order for us to become a battle-tested person, in order for someone to be able to endure hardship and to face adversity through life and become stronger because of it, you have to adopt a warrior mentality. You have to live the way of the warrior. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. I mean, I know you and I have talked about some of this before, but
yeah,
I'd like to hear just your thoughts on this idea of living the way of the warrior.
You know, I love it. Actually, I started reading a book last night. It's called Killer Angels by Michael somebody. It's a Civil War novel.
Okay.
My brother grew up, he read a ton, and I'm currently in a room that he used to live in that it just has a bunch of his books in it. And I saw this one. I remember him reading it like in seventh grade. And I was like, I'm going to check that out. And so started reading it. What stood out to me is the characters that are these generals are my age, you know? And so it's like, you know, it's crazy to think that these Civil War generals who are making these major decisions and changing the course of history are my age. And as I think about, I was just kind of processing that, you know, we are at this age where we have had adversity, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you talk to me at 20, what I thought was adversity, very different than it is now. That's one thing I love about yours. Yeah, go ahead.
You're 37, just
I'm 37. Context. Yeah, I'm 37.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so most of these generals are like 37, 38, but 37 is kind of the number, and that's why it kind of jumped off the page to me. But yeah, I'm 37. And so, you know, we go back to our early life and what we thought was adversity wasn't really adversity. But now that we're getting on this middle age, if you will. Oh, God. This middle age, like, you know, we are. And I know that we'll feel even that way when we're, you know, further down the road and we're older. We're going to look back at the adversity we face at this point and be like, yeah, you guys thought you knew what you were talking about. But like right now we're in that middle. And I think about like what a warrior is. And it's somebody that really can just overcome that adversity.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up, I'm a musician. I'm a bit of an artist. And so I was always kind of, what I was so thankful for is even though I grew up in Mississippi, people didn't like belittle that or make me not feel masculine because I didn't love to go hunting. I didn't love to do all those things, but I look at like David. David was a warrior. Like he went and slayed thousands of people, right?
Yeah.
But he also was an artist. He also was a poet, and everything that he faced, no matter what adversity it was, he constantly was looking to God and trying to find a way to meld these things of art and meld these things of conquest and overcoming adversity, and then all the while submitting those things to God. And
absolutely.
He didn't get it right all the time, but
no, but nobody does. Yeah. No, nobody does. And, you know, what you said about David always, even through his mistakes and all the adversity he had, he always came to a point where he submitted it to God.
Yeah.
You know, through his biggest mistake, he had a moment of, you know, of failure, but then he had the repentant heart that said, okay, I recognize this isn't right, and I'm submitting it to God, trusting him for the future. Mm. So episode one, I talked about this a bit, about, you know, to live the way of the warrior, to develop into this kind of person that exhibits all these traits that we're talking about, there has to be an order in your life. Mm-hmm. And I won't rehash what I've already talked about, but this divine order of being submitted to something that's higher than yourself, and then reining in your mind, will, and emotions, mm-hmm. and even your physical body and its desires, reining them in to be submitted to that higher authority, that higher purpose. I think without that, it's easy to get off track. And without that, it's easy to be swayed by the challenges of life, or any kind of, you know, the winds of adversity that can blow in. And really, the subject that you and I are going to dive into is doubt. Mm-hmm. And I think without that proper alignment, without that proper order in your life, doubt could be something that could derail you. I mean, it could derail the course of your life. It could derail any project that you're working on. It could derail any development that you've been working towards. You know, I've struggled with doubt many times in my life. I think the start of kind of a long spiral in my life that lasted about a decade, it started because I didn't handle doubt the right way. Mm-hmm. Because I let doubt creep in my mind, and I started to believe things that weren't true, or I just became very pessimistic. Mm-hmm. And I allowed that to sway a lot of my decisions. So I guess share your thoughts on the role that doubt can play. And maybe you have some stories about a time that you were on a certain course and your trajectory changed a little bit because doubt creeped in.
Yeah. So I've dealt with this a lot. I was raised much like you, a pastor's kid. And I, you know, Pentecostal pastor's kid. So church is like, it's Hallelujah. Everything. Like it's there everything. You it's your entire culture. Mm-hmm. It's your heritage. It's everything. And so that's what I had. And, you know, I loved it, and I loved God. I still do. And I loved I loved all of it. Like I really did. And then I remember I went to Bible college, and one of the professors started pulling on the strings of the framework that I had for the Bible. And that framework mm-hmm. was one where everything is historical fact. Mm-hmm. And that framework was being challenged by this professor, and he had some really good points. And I'm 22 at the time. No, I'm 20 at the time. And that began this long process of kind of reanalyzing what the Bible was. And if you fast forward it, it turned into this full on deconstruction of my faith. And I didn't have that term deconstruction at the time. I didn't really know what was going on. All I knew
it wasn't a hot topic at the time.
It was not a hot topic. All I knew was I was a worship pastor at the church I grew up in, and I was questioning, am I an atheist? Mm. And I felt like I didn't have anybody to talk to about it. And I felt like anytime I'd bring up these questions about the Bible, about my faith, it was just like, let's just like put that in the corner over here. And no one really wanted to engage in the conversation with me. And so I was really falling apart spiritually. And really the climax of that story is where I was in my room. I was writing in my journal just because I was just trying to find some sort of peace and solace. So I'm writing, and all of a sudden I found myself just drawing this big circle, and just the circle got bigger and the ink got thicker. And before I knew it, there's just this black hole on the page. And I remember just looking at that and thinking like, that's what I feel like inside. I feel like I'm missing my faith. And it was at that moment that I really was just considering, like, do I just jump off this ledge into atheism or agnosticism or whatever this is? And I remember it was at that moment that I really began to feel God's presence and his spirit in that room in a way that I hadn't felt it in a long time. And it was at that moment where I decided, I thought about several things. And the first thing I realized was, that wasn't when I realized these things, but I, but that moment I said, you know what? My life is better if I follow the teachings of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I know the teachings of Jesus well enough to know that my life is not going to go great if I'm just following my own idea of what's best.
Yeah.
But if I follow Jesus' teachings, which teach me to lay my life down for others, which teach me to serve others, which teaches me to love people and love God. If I will do those things, I know my life's going to be better than if I just go my own way at this point. And so what I decided was, is like, God, I don't have all the answers to my questions. I don't, there's going to be so much that I can't know. And that's the problem, is you want to find answers to unknowable questions.
Mm.
But at that moment I said, you know what? At the base level, I know that I didn't make me, right? And when you, I've studied the creation of the universe, you know, I've talked about a lot of this. We've studied the order of the universe. And you, if you really look at it, you're like, there is something intelligent behind this. I mean, it does, it just takes no, like, it's the only logical conclusion, in my opinion, at this point. And then the other thing is, if my life's better following Jesus, so why don't I just trust those three things? And on my worst days of faith, those are the three things I lean into. I say, I didn't make me. Okay. There is a divine designer, and my life's better if I follow the teachings of Jesus. And those three things have gotten me through that day. And that night when I was writing the journal, I just told God, like, I'm going to follow the teachings of Jesus the rest of my life. End of story. I don't care what it looks like. Like, I'm, that is it. And so that kind of began this reconstruction, right? Okay. Yeah. What do I believe, and what can I stand on? Yeah. And I had those three kind of pillars. They're not pillars of faith. They're really, they're pillars of logic, right? Like those three logical things that didn't make me. There's a divine order to the universe, and Jesus' teachings have helped my life, and I'm going to keep following those. And so I've stood on those realms of logic, meanwhile discovering my faith.
Yeah.
And that really, the theme of everything that I've been through has been that faith is required. And it's, you know, doubt does not mean that you don't have faith. And that's, that was really a hard lesson to learn. And we can unpack that. But like, your doubt doesn't mean that you don't have faith. Just doubt is an area where you have room to grow in your faith, because you're being invited into questions that are deeper. You're being invited into questions that man has been talking about for hundreds and thousands of years.
Right.
And so I had to rediscover what faith actually was, what it wasn't. It wasn't me just doing what the culture told me to do. It wasn't doing what even the culture that I was raised in told me to do. It wasn't just reading the Bible as just one way. It was, faith was finding God and reaching out for God and not knowing exactly what was out there on the other side of it.
I think that's a really good point to make, because it could have been very easy for you to just go with the flow, right?
Yeah, right.
It actually would have been better for you and your comfort, let's say.
Right.
The life that you were living at the moment, it would have been the easier option, the better option for you if you had just gone with the flow, not questioned certain things, and just accepted, okay, you know, I'm not going to worry about these things. I'm just going to believe what everybody around me believes, and I'm going to go in this direction. And I think a lot of people will coast, like they don't even allow that doubt to kind of propel them into a journey like you're talking about. They just say, no, I'm comfortable here. I'm comfortable doing the things that I'm doing. I like my routine. I'm good with my surrounding. I don't want any of this kind of pressure. I don't want any of these kind of thoughts. And it takes faith. You said a lot there that I want to unpack, because you're talking about, you know, logic kind of bringing you to this place where you can then act on a faith. You know, I think that's how it, a lot of times, if you're struggling with doubt, that's how you have to get there. Faith, you know, in the Bible, the words faith and faithfulness are they come from the same Greek word, basically. It's slight distinctions sometimes in how it's used, but whenever you see the word faith in the Bible, most of the time it means faithfulness. It's not so much just like a belief that you don't act on, or a belief that you hold internally and it doesn't manifest in your life. Like, a faith in Christ and his teachings means you're living those things out. That's why James says your faith without works is dead. Yeah. Because if it's not being shown, if you're not living it out, if it's not transforming you from the inside out, that's not true faith. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you coming to this conclusion of, these are the things I believe, these are the things I'm going to submit my life to, that no matter what kind of doubt I have, I'm just going to continue following these beliefs. That's divine order. I mean, when I heard you explaining it, I'm like, here it is right here. Andrew is telling us about how he had a moment of doubt, a crisis, and he just had the resolve. He had the determination to say, you know what? This is the higher authority I'm submitting my life to. And no matter what doubt or questions come into my mind, I'm always going to follow these things, even if it's uncomfortable for me, even if I don't agree all the times, and even if I'm not sure what I believe in the moment, I'm going to follow these teachings. I'm going to submit myself to this way of living.
Yeah. You know, doubt comes whenever you're what you're experiencing doesn't line up with what you believe, right?
Yeah.
I believe that God is good, and if I do everything this way, then it's all going to go well for me. Well, then it doesn't go well for you, and you start questioning, wait, where are you, God? Like, I did all of this. Where, you know, where's your end of the bargain? That's what happens to most people whenever they face doubt, is it's, you know, they think that they're going to get rewarded for doing good, and then something really awful happens in their life, and they think, oh man, God must not be there. And
yeah,
if you have a fragile faith, and if you have the wrong understanding of who God is and how he works, then of course you're going to wind up doubting that, if it actually works that way, because it doesn't, right?
Right.
And so it's important for us to have the right beliefs, and it's important for us to take a look at, okay, what do I believe and what is true? Because we have to have as humans, we have this idea of narrative and story, and we have to have a story that fits with what we're experiencing.
Yeah.
And that is the rub. Like, that's the hard part, is what am I finding here that lines up with what I'm experiencing? Because experience is important.
Absolutely. You wouldn't throw, let's say this, because I know, like, I have friends that practice stoicism. You know, I have friends that are into different philosophies. Maybe they're not.
What is stoicism?
It's an ancient philosophy, like Greek philosophy, of just an approach to life. Like, think of like Marcus Aurelius and the way that he lived his life and his thoughts and how he handled different situations. That was stoicism. Gotcha. So it's more this approach of a value system, or a way of approaching life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I bring that up to say, you know, there's people that maybe don't necessarily share our faith, mm-hmm. but they have a set of values that they're striving to live by. Right.
Right.
Now, I think the important thing, though, is when you encounter a season of doubt, or you have to go through this process of, let's say, deconstruction. In other words, you go through something and you're realizing, hey, these values that I've been living my life by are actually not the right values. Mm-hmm. These values that I've been submitted to, I've just experienced this situation where they actually did not. They went through the testing and the trial mm-hmm. with me, and they didn't hold up.
Right.
So I think it's important for people that have those moments not to just scrap the idea of having a higher authority right. that you align your life with, right?
Yeah.
But that's an opportunity for you to say, okay, this set of values that I was living my life by has proven to be faulty mm-hmm. and not reliable, and maybe not good for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to explore what a better version of that is, or what the truth is. What is the higher authority that I should be submitting my life to if these things aren't working? Of course, you and I, we're always going to tell people that the ultimate authority they should submit their life to is God, is Jesus Christ. Yeah. And you know, being part of the Christian faith. But I think everybody's on their own journey exploring right. those things. Well, I was just going to stress the importance to people that when you hit a rough season and your values don't hold up, that doesn't mean you don't have a need for that higher authority in right. your life.
Yeah. And I love that. And I think that's, I mean, whenever I said those three things that really held me up, you know, those were three things that it's like, I'm going to submit to these three ideas because one is they just make sense, right? I lived the teachings of Jesus long enough to know, like, when I do these things, my life's better. Yeah. But I just kind of want to speak to the people who maybe you are wrestling with doubt. The hardest part of that season was the isolation. Mm-hmm. Thank God I had my wife who would hold me while I was crying because I thought I was losing my faith. Thank God I had her because she was really the only person I could talk to about it. And what was really hard, you know, recently I got to put the shoe on the other foot in the sense that I had someone that I'm very close with. And that person has gone through their own deconstruction. And I hadn't been around them in a while. And we got together recently and we were sitting there talking and they were just sharing kind of like all the things they're processing and their questions and all of that stuff. And it just started. And I was hearing it with different ears. Because I'm now full of faith and now I'm, you know, I've got this reconstructed thing and now I'm hearing them throw stones at it. Right. And it didn't feel good. It didn't feel good to hear this person just questioning everything. It didn't feel good to hear them, you know, just having such a loose idea of what they believed. And it was uncomfortable for me. And I listened to that and I realized like, God just kind of showed me like, that's what it was like for you to bring up all those questions to those people all those times. And that's why they had a hard time having the conversations or even hearing you out, because it's not easy, right? It's not comfortable. If you're not also, you know, if you've got a fellow person that's in that place, man, y'all can go around in circles and talking. And that's the problem, is a lot of them get together and it's just becomes this massive questioning and no real ground is being challenged or shaken. But
it's an echo chamber. Yeah,
it's an echo chamber. But it also challenged me. And this is kind of my whole thing, is we as believers or as Christians, we have to embrace people with these big questions and we have to make room to hear them out. And the answer, we can't always act like we have like the exact answer to the questions. And the thing is, they're probably going to bring up stuff that you don't have the answer for, but you don't have a problem with the question because you have chosen faith, right?
Right.
And that's where we have to challenge ourselves to be open. So two sides. One is, if you're wrestling with doubt, you're not alone, right? Like, you're not in this alone and you're going to be okay. You are going to be okay. You don't feel like it today, but you're going to be okay. Just keep moving. Like you said, Bo, have that divine order and submit yourself to something bigger than you are, because you're not going to figure it all out. And if you think that you are, then that is the area of pride, like, right?
That's
the problem, right?
That is something, actually, you said earlier on in our conversation where you said we have a desire to know the unknowable.
Yeah.
And that, I think that is a pride. I mean, look at the story of sin is that Adam and Eve chose to pursue knowledge instead of life. They wanted to know. They want to know good and evil.
Story number one in the Bible.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's an elevation of ourselves above God, which would be, you know, your life being out of order. That's really what, I'm just now thinking about that. The first story of sin entering the world is when there was no divine order for Adam and Eve. They decided to elevate themselves.
Yeah.
That desire to know the unknowable or to know everything, the culture we live in, Andrew, there's so much access to information. My goodness. It's endless. It's endless. We could just explore different topics and subjects all day, every day for the rest of our lives and not even scratch the surface on the information that is out there.
Well, and then the problem on top of that is we now have so much information that we can go back and forth about two different ideas and believe two different truths. And at the end of the day, we just find those echo chambers. You know, it's like today, I have a friend who he posts a video that time travel is about to become available because they made movies about it and they're just preparing us for the future. And then people are on there. It's like, but space isn't real. And, you know, like the earth is flat. And, you know, all that stuff. And it's like, how are we at this place where truth is such a relative idea? Right. And that we can be so prideful to think that, I've got it figured out.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, there are basic elements of science where we still have to have faith to believe those things, right?
Of course.
And that's what's cool is God built faith into our lives. And that's, we have to be able to say, you know, I'm just a human. And yeah. what I think about these things doesn't really have any implication on whether they are true or not.
Right.
You know, and I am, I'm much smaller. And so the most important thing is that I find what I can build on to yeah. serve others. Right.
Well, that's another thing I wanted to lean into is you talked about one, when you were going through this season of doubt, serious doubt that where you were questioning, you know, the principles that your life was built on. Right. You were turning to people that wouldn't engage you in these conversations, right?
Yeah.
But then you said during that season, it was easy to find people that were having the same struggle with doubt as you, and you could talk about every topic freely, and it could turn into this echo chamber, well, right?
Thankfully, I went through this a long time ago. And so, right. You know, not that I haven't, you know, had struggles and wrestled with it as it's come on, but like the term deconstruction groups,
right.
You know, like what's happened recently in the past 5 years is you've had this mass exodus of established Christians. I say established, yeah. Established Christians who have publicly left their faith and gone through these processes of deconstruction and started getting into Buddhism and all these things. And so, fortunately, yeah. that was all at the tail end of my journey of securing my faith. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have that community. And so I didn't have to, fortunately, I didn't, like, God kind of kept me isolated to where I was really dealing with it on my own. And maybe it would have helped me, but I also could see where it would not, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think today's deconstruction movement is a political, social thing. It's not a true right. exploration of faith, which yeah. is different from your journey.
Right.
But the other thing that you said that I wanted to point out to people is now that you are someone who has walked through that season of doubt and you're battle tested because of it, mm-hmm. meaning you came through it stronger and your faith is stronger and you were victorious over those big questions you were wrestling with. Now you're in the position where this person who's asking those same questions that you are asking, now you can talk with them. Now you right. can mentor them. Now you can be the person maybe that you didn't have. Because maybe the people that you were turning to during your season of doubt, they hadn't struggled with those questions like you were struggling with them.
Right.
But you are now a person that can speak to others who have gone through or are going through a trial like you went mm-hmm. through. And I think that speaks to that divine order that we have, that higher authority, is that we can turn our failures or our struggles or our trials then into strengths where we can make a difference in somebody else's life, yeah. right? Like yeah. where you can now be that person, that warrior that can step into any situation and just have the mindset, the character, the integrity, the experience, the wisdom to be able to make the difference in whatever setting that you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been my challenge, is to find those people. I felt, you know, one thing that's kind of cool. When I was right before we moved to Houston, I began really studying the book of Exodus, and I really got fascinated with the character of Moses. What's cool about Moses is he went through some really unique things. He was raised in Egypt, by Pharaoh's daughter. Mm-hmm. So raised as a prince of Egypt. And then he murders somebody for harming the Hebrews. He finds out he's Hebrew, murders, an Egyptian, flees, and is in the wilderness for 40 years. And then he has this experience where he sees God and, in the burning bush. And, what's so cool is, when you think about, and God was calling him to help the Israelites leave Egypt. The yeah. Israelites have been enslaved, I think it was over 300 years at this point. Multiple generations of people who had just lived in slavery in this large city, metropolitan ancient city. They didn't know how to live in the wilderness. They also, none of those slaves could have gotten court with Pharaoh.
Yeah.
And so you look at Moses, who has favor enough to get court with Pharaoh and right. actually have a conversation with him. And you get Moses, who knows how to survive in the wilderness, right? Mm-hmm. He has been battle tested. He yeah. was divinely appointed to be the person to do this. Right. And I remember thinking Moses, you know, when he's talking to God, he's just disqualifying himself over right. and over and over again. I love that conversation. He's like, God's like, hey, I need you to do this. And Moses is like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I don't talk good. And God's like, well, hey, I made your mouth. So like, shut up and go do it. Right.
Yeah.
And then Moses is like, you know what, God, like, you just need to pick somebody else. And so finally mm-hmm. God gives in and he gives Moses what he needs. And what I love about that story is Moses disqualified himself, but God kept qualifying him. What Moses thought would yeah. disqualify him. You know, when mm-hmm. I was going through my doubt and my struggle, I was certain, like, man, people in ministry don't have doubts like this. They don't have questions mm-hmm. like this. People in ministry don't struggle with this. And I'm disqualified, right? I'm less than, I'm not good enough. I'll never be as good of a pastor or minister or preacher or any of those things because I've wrestled with this. I felt like yeah. it was a taint on my faith record.
Yeah.
But what God showed me was what you think is going to disqualify you will qualify you in some other yeah. area, right?
Right.
And so if you're wrestling with this doubt and then you come out on the other side, just like you said, you now have this equipment. You now have this armor. You now have this thing that you can carry with you and say, hey, I have been battle tested in this area. And here's what my experience was. And you can help lead people out of bondage because you've yeah. already been there, and you can show them what it's like to be in the wilderness and how to survive in this area yeah. of unknown, because God has divinely appointed you to be that warrior, that person, that yes. leader for them.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of what we've been talking about is, you know, doubt with a specific, we're kind of talking in a specific area, doubt in,
sure.
let's just say doubt in a higher authority.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't even necessarily for everyone have to be that doubt in a Christian faith. Let's say it's just a doubt in that there is a divine order to the universe, or there is a higher set of values and living that we should be pursuing. But on a much smaller level, mm-hmm. there's other ways doubt creeps in. I guess maybe on a much like more personal level, there's ways doubt creeps in.
Yeah.
Doubt in yourself, you know, just doubting your own ability, doubting your own worth, doubting your value. And I know that's something that I've struggled with, is beyond different doubts or questions I've had that were kind of like an existential, like macro kind of doubting season on a like more micro level. Mm-hmm. I've had seasons where it's like, am I really the right person to do this?
Yeah.
Or am I good enough? Am yeah. I smart enough? Am I able to do this? You know, whatever it might be, like right now, you know, as a pastor, of course, I've been serving on the staff at Life for 6 years now. And, you know, I stepped into the role of pastor right during the pandemic. And, you know, I wrestle with the thought sometimes, or the doubt of, am I really the right person to be in this role?
Yeah.
Of course, I fully believe that I'm walking the life that God has called me to, the life he's called me to, but there still are those moments that I think everybody struggles with daily or on a regular basis of just, am I good enough? Is this, am I really the right person for this, or whatever the case yeah. might be? So why don't you tell me about a time maybe where you experienced something like that, not necessarily a dilemma of your faith, but just a personal doubt in yourself, in your own skill and ability. But specifically, tell me about a time where doubt got the best of you.
I've never really wrestled with self-doubt or insecurity.
No, yeah, you're pretty amazing, man. I guess so. Well, that's it, everybody. Thanks for joining in.
That's never been an issue for me. No, man. How much time do we have? You know, just kind of going back to, I identify so strongly with Moses, that idea of, you have got the wrong guy, you know, like there's absolutely no way. Yeah. And I've wrestled with self-doubt so much through my life. And I, in every area, you know, the only area where I feel really competent is music. And even there, there, I have wrestled with so much self-doubt. And what has helped me the most is just seeing, really, as a pastor, what's awesome is you get to see people at their best and their worst. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when you encounter people at the worst, they can't see the potential and they can't see what God's doing. But as an outsider, you know it and you can see it. And then further down the road, you get to see it work out, you know, not in every situation, obviously, but so many times it's easy when you see, like, there's a kid right now. I'm just doing some really hands-on ministering with him. And he is, he comes from a very troubled past. I'm giving him like free music lessons, but it's just because I want to invest in him. And he does not see how smart he is. He has no idea how smart he is, how talented he is. Like, he's one of those kids that whatever he sets his mind to doing, he can do it, but he just needs me to kind of coach him on. And when you see that in other people, you begin to see it in yourself. It's like, man, how much do I limit myself and limit my potential because I'm over here kicking myself? Actually, I had to get therapy because of my self-talk. Last year, I was just, I was wrestling with some really huge self-doubt, a lot of it. And so I booked it with a therapist. I didn't know what we were going to talk about or what we were going to work on. I just knew I needed something because it wasn't going the right direction. And she said, well, your self-talk is awful. I was like, what is self-talk? And so we started, it's what you say to yourself. And I remember a specific, we were on staff, I was on staff at Life, and we had this exercise where we were supposed to write down like our worst thoughts about ourselves. It was an exercise that we did. And I remember going through everybody's reading theirs out loud to the group, which took a lot of bravery, and everybody's doing it. And it's like, man, like, that's rough. Well, then we got to mine, and mine was brutal. Like, it was like everybody else was like right here. And then I read mine. I just remember everybody in the room be like, you really think that about yourself? Like,
man, you don't remember that.
You do remember that?
I don't remember that.
Dude, no. I've still got the where I wrote it down on the page, and it's like, it is brutal. And I remember then I had a prick. I was like, something's not right here. Like, I'm not normal in this area. There is a normal amount of self-doubt, and you need that in order to propel you on, right? But then there's the kind where it's just you're doing nothing but kicking yourself, and it becomes paralyzing. And that's where you need help, and you need to work on your self-talk. And that's where I've had to learn how to be kinder to myself.
Yeah.
So just, your question's kind of like about self-doubt. That I would say that is 100% of everybody listening to this, you're dealing with it, right? You deal with it every day. Anyone who doesn't deal with self-doubt is probably a narcissist, right?
Yes.
And even then, they're fighting.
Name all the people in your life that you think are narcissists. Really quick. I'm joking.
But, you know, even then, they're fighting against that self-doubt, right? And so I think there's an element that's normal, but learning how to, like you said, getting a divine order and seeing yourself as a unique creation. Seeing yourself as someone that has endless potential in the areas that God has uniquely gifted you. And I just, anybody that's listening to this, like, you are enough. Like, you are. God created you to be enough, and you're going to keep trying to do good enough. And that's the other great thing about, you know, faith in Christ, is that you realize he has already won the victory. He's already won the battle, and his sacrifice paid for our ability to approach God, right? Right. But even not beyond that, just being able to approach life. I had a vision just in my mind, just kind of a mental image for grace and faith years ago. And it was like this, I had this, the pathway was grace.
Yeah.
And the faith was like this jetpack on my back, or the engine in the car that pushed me along it. And the thing is, I'm going to be walking in faith, and I'm going to be stepping out in faith. But when I fall down, when I fall off, I've got grace there catching me. And so many times we think we have to go back to the starting line, but you don't. You just pick up and keep going. And so when you're facing self-doubt, you can feel like you've got to do all of these things, but like, just let that all just calm down. That's the other thing, is learning how to train my mind. You know, the power of a renewed mind and the power of a trained mind is so important. Even this morning, I was having to tell my brain, stop.
Yeah.
Calm down. You know, that's not true,
man. That's good, Andrew. So let's do that, 'cause we're going to wrap up here, but I want to know, you know, we have, I have a goal, I think, with each episode. I want to help people identify a challenge that is universal among human beings. And the challenge is we're going to encounter doubt, whether it's a doubt in a value system, doubt in a belief system, or just doubt in our own ability, in our own skill, in ourselves. That's the challenge. We're going to encounter doubt. So what is the path to growth when we have that those moments of doubt? It is turning doubt into a catalyst that grows us, not something that just sends us into a spiral of disbelief, unbelief, pessimism. You know, that's no way to live life.
Right.
Certainly, you're not going to become battle tested with that approach. So the path to growth then is learning how to utilize doubt, remaining true to a higher authority, working through doubt, becoming stronger, smarter, growing in knowledge, wisdom. But what are the very practical things? Mm-hmm. What are the practical things that you have implemented in your life? Like, I'm sure now, you know, having walked through seasons of doubt, you're able to even identify those triggers. You know, you're able to even identify the moment something happens in your life that would cause you to doubt in yourself or in a higher authority. So how do you practically approach those things? How do you deal with them on a daily basis?
That's a great question. The most important thing is to reframe your, let's just do what you said, reframe your doubt as an invitation to faith. Doubt is an invitation to faith. You know, one of my favorite characters in the Bible is Doubting Thomas. And what's funny is Thomas, two things that people don't think about when they think about Thomas. Thomas was like, you read the other earlier accounts of Thomas and he's like ride or die. Like he's like, Jesus, like we're going to go with you. Like we will die with you. He was the one who spoke up like that. And then the disciples see Jesus without Thomas and they see, they place their hand in the nail pierced hand and they see this. And then they go to Thomas and tell him, hey, we saw Jesus. And Thomas says, I'll believe it when I see it. The thing is that the other disciples have already seen it. And we label Thomas as doubter just because he didn't believe it when they told him, even though they had already seen it. Right. That's kind of crazy. Right. And then what's also cool is Thomas at the end of his life. Well, we don't know exactly where he was an evangelist, but we believe it was India. We know it was the East, but they believe it was India. And we know that he died a martyr, meaning that someone said, do you believe in Jesus? And he said, yes. And they killed him. And I just say that to say sometimes the greatest doubters turn into the people that have the most faith. They become the strongest believers. And so just because you're wrestling with doubt does not mean that you will not be a person of faith. And whenever, as far as practical application of that, see it as that pathway forward. And the other things I'd say is don't let cynicism become part of your journey. Cynicism is it's everywhere, right? I've had to stop following meme accounts because of how cynical they were about church or about faith or about even just living a good life or having, you know, people are just so cynical these days and you find it all over the internet. It's so easy to just, it's easy to get a laugh. It's easy to just live in that place. But I've had to remove cynicism because cynicism feeds doubt. It just feeds it. It's like candy for it. And so, you know, see it as an invitation, remove cynicism, and just remember it's a journey. Like your faith is a journey. It's not a destination. And so you're gonna, just going to keep walking and keep propelling yourself. And so have those things, find those things that are bedrock to your faith. You know, I have my three things. Maybe they're different for you, but find something that you can lean on, even on your worst days. You say, you know what? I don't have any faith today, but I've got this, you know, I've got this belief in this or this idea, or I know that this is true. Kind of reminds me of Inception. They have the totem, right? They have the totem and that totem. Sorry, if you're here in the rain, it's starting to come down here. They have this totem that centers them and lets them know what's real. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for you to have that thing that lets you know, okay, this is, I can make it through today because I know this, or I believe this.
Man, that's really good. And I think even that totem could be a daily routine.
Yeah.
I mean, even just holding on to a daily routine and daily disciplines can see you through, at least keep you, you know, mentally healthy, emotionally healthy as you walk through a season of doubt.
Yeah.
having some consistency in your life too is huge, because I know the moments where I've had a lot of doubt, you know, doubt can cause cynicism. Like you said, it can also cause depression. Yes. It can cause anxiety. Yeah. It can cause anger. How do you prevent yourself from being consumed by those kinds of emotions and all the things that doubt can begin to manifest in mm-hmm. your life? Is you have to have something that stabilizes you. Yes. You have to have a divine order. You yes. have to have some discipline in different areas of your life to cling to, that when you're going through a season of doubt, those things are going to carry you through the other side, and you're going to get the other side battle tested,
right.
stronger, wiser, and better yeah. because of it.
So yeah, other things too, on to just tie into exactly what you just said, those daily routines. I would say having a friend that you can talk to about it is also important. Having somebody that you know that they'll just listen to your questions, and you know, they're not going to really give you a lot of pushback, but they're just, hey, I'm here for you. You know, yeah, yeah, that's a yep. crazy thing. You know, like they're just, they'll listen to it. And then the other is praying anyway, you know, like
yep.
even if it's self-doubt or it's doubt in God himself, you know, if praying to the walls is better than not praying at all. Scientifically yeah. speaking, prayer is good for you, right?
Yeah.
That's another thing I tell people, like, you know, if you're wrestling with faith in God, like I've told people this many times, going to church is scientifically proven to be good for you. The yeah. actually live music, not canned music, recorded music, but like live music is scientifically good for you. Singing every week, singing out loud is good for you. Singing with a group of people and getting around other people is good for you. Hearing a lecture or a sermon, it's good for you. Prayer is yeah. good. All those things are good for you. And so, yeah. you know, a lot of people during those times will back off of church. Well, maybe you need to find a different flavor, or maybe you need to try something else, but don't give up on this thing yeah. because you're just taking away things that are good for your body, good for your mind. And
right.
we know it's good for your soul.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think another thing that is going to help people who are struggling with doubt is, like you said, find someone to talk to, a friend to lean on, mm-hmm. but also find some mentors,
yes.
find some people that are older than you, wiser than you,
yeah.
have walked what you're going through,
yes.
because that will help prevent you from ending up in an echo chamber, right?
Right.
That will, if you can find some people in your life that you give permission to say hard things to you, mm-hmm. or someone that you can, you know, trust, and you know they've experienced or walked through certain seasons similar to you, you know, lean on those people mm-hmm. and trust their advice and wisdom. I think that's important, is to find, you know, I think if you're submitted to a higher authority and that you obviously have a goal for your life, it's going to be easy for you to find people in, like in my community. If I go right now and looked at some of the men in my church, I could say, you know what? These men are living a life that I want to, you know, I also want to live in the future as a father, husband, eventually having grandchildren. Like the character of their life, the totality of yeah. their life, they have stayed true to this path that I'm also on. Yeah. So I'm going to talk to them, and whatever they say to me, I'm going to receive yeah. it, because they've proven
right.
that the life that they're living is worth it. They've proven that they can walk through difficult situations and come through the other side of it. And of course, I'm not just going to surround myself with people that are telling me things I want to hear.
Thank you so much for checking out this week's episode of the Battle Tested Podcast. I encourage you, if you want the extended edition of that episode, the uncut version, you can check that out by joining our Patreon. The link for that is in the description below. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at battletested.pod. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, and we'll see you next week here on the Battle Tested Podcast.